I shared with great purpose last week. I really appreciate what Bob said because I felt it too. Thank you for chiming in. Other people shared as well, but I felt like it was really from the Lord, and I felt very purposeful the last several weeks, actually, and things I've shared because I feel like it's directly for the body. And this week, to be frank with you, I was like, I don't feel purposeful with this until I got here this morning, early this morning. And I do feel like it's from the Lord, and I do feel like the Lord has a few things He wants to share. And it's going to be very, very, very practical, and we call it back home. It's meat and potatoes. We call it back home. And it's simple stuff, but I feel sometimes the Lord will arrest me with something. I don't like to just do sermons and sermonettes. I really want to speak from my heart, from what God puts and downloads within me, something that will speak to us and where we're at, okay? No one just needs a sermon, but you need the Lord to speak to you in an area, in a way. And so I feel like the Lord has given me something. Maybe it's for one person, maybe it's for multiple. Maybe it's for me, I don't know. But I do feel like the Lord's given me something. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Yes, Acts chapter 9. I don't even have my chapter right. Acts chapter 9. One thing Andrew was saying this morning, and it actually kind of goes on with what's in my heart. As children of God, we have responsibility. Amen. And God gives us freedom. We'll speak more about that in a little bit. So I have freedom to choose to do something or not to do something. So when I go into worship, I have freedom to worship or not worship. I'm not saying anyone was or wasn't. I'm just, for me, anyways. I have freedom to press into God or freedom to not press into God. If God forced me to do something, I'm a robot and I have no freedom. But God gives us freedom because He honors us, okay? And so I kind of want to go something along those lines and how I get from this to where I'm going to go. It's one thing. I've kind of been going through Acts, and the Lord gives me interesting things throughout it to share. But let me just read. It's important to understand the story of the early church. And I am going to read some of this. Acts chapter 9. And we all know this story if you walk with God for any length of time. You know the story of how Saul became Paul on the Damascus Road, right? Okay. And I'm going to read this to honor the Word of God. And this was, I'm going to start with verse 3. As he, speaking of Saul, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice to him saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Just stop, this is not my message, real quick. But he was persecuting the body of Christ. Kind of goes on what I was saying last week, and Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my body? And so I always say this, and I really have to guard my tongue and my heart. One thing that grieves me is when we're very, and I'm not saying anyone here is doing this at all, this is just, I feel like I need to say it. Guard your heart against criticisms and accusations against your brothers and sisters. Some of them are unfounded. If there's an issue with someone, go to the Lord in prayer. Confront them. But go to the Lord. Amen. I've seen guys drop out of the running because they develop such a critical spirit. Guard your heart against that. I don't know why I said that, but I said it. And he said, then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goad. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then he said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Then the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and his eyes were open. He saw no one, but they led him by the hand and foot and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. So he wasn't in good shape. He met the Lord, but he hadn't eaten or drank in 3 days. That would be really hard to do, and he couldn't see. So that's not good. And so there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. The Lord speaks to us. Remember I shared that? Dreams and visions. Don't discard that. Throughout the scriptures he speaks to people this way. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he'd seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints at Jerusalem. That would be a scary thing for this guy, right? This guy was chopping people's heads off left and right, and now the Lord says, go and lay your hands on this man. I would have to ask, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to do that, or I have to really make double sure. And so he had to go, so kudos to him for doing that. Verse 15, it says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying hands on him, and he said, Brother Saul. Remember I said last week too, body of Christ, brother and sister. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthened, and Saul spent some days with him, with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. I read that, and I'm going to go away. Is everyone comfortable temperature-wise, first and foremost? I'm actually a little warm, but maybe that's because I'm up here. So if we're fine, that's good.
You finally open the window, be great.
Go ahead, man. Yeah, that's fine. One thing, real quick, and just to give encouragement, I love the Lord that the Lord uses Saul, who became Paul, because the guy was a murderer. So if someone looks at you and says, this is who you used to be, he used to be a murderer, and the Lord used him powerfully. But Paul is an example and a witness. I want to share something, though. I kind of want to just get right into it. I feel like I have some pointed things to share from the Lord. The Lord turned this man and flipped him around. And I think everyone in here has met the Lord in salvation. And you know, I say something like him every week, but I always appreciate Brad because he's such a picture to me of from darkness to light, right? Like that, you know, because I came into the Lord at a young age. It's been good. The Lord can take us from the deepest depths of hell and destruction into life. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have salvation. We know that. But I want to focus on one of the things that the Lord does. And I've already said something about it when we're born again. One thing that Paul would preach and he would write continuously is freedom. That you're free. Amen. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let me read some verses to you, and I'm going to share some things. In Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 1, don't turn there. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or in the freedom by which Christ has made you free, and do not be tangled again with the yoke of bondage. What did Jesus say? If the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed, right? Galatians 5, 13 through 14. It says, you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we spoke about that some last week as well. So Peter writes in 1 Peter, he encourages us to live as free people. Okay? When you're born again, one thing we've been doing at our home, and my wife is, I say it to, I don't know if I've ever said it to her, I've said it to myself, she's like our kids' pastor at home. And she got a good devotion for them, and we have devotion before bed. And one thing that we do, as we just started, is we're on Adam and Eve, and we start. And when the Lord began, and he started us, Adam and Eve were very free, were they not? Amen. Okay? They were running around without a care in the world. I won't go into detail. And they could have their lay of the land, could name anything, do everything they want. But I would challenge you to say that's not why they were free. They were free because there was a tree there, right? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? So the very thing that the Lord put there that caused them to fall was what gave them freedom. Why is that? Freedom's not just this. Freedom says, I have a choice. I have responsibility. As a son and as a daughter of God, I've shared this many times before. I have a freedom to determine my responses to God, to others, no one else does, it's me. That's the freedom that the Lord gives you. I'm going to give a verse in Romans in a minute, because before you met Christ, it says you were a slave of sin. In Christ, I'm a slave of righteousness, but in that, there's freedom, and I have ability to choose. That's why you can't get mad at a sinner for sinning, doing what they're slaves and they're bound to do. Okay? If someone doesn't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, you're acting what's normal to you. Okay? As a believer, I have to see different in that. Okay? So there's freedom to choose that the Lord gives us. I have responsibility. And I've shared this before. I'll never forget it. It's just it's something that's very, very, very simple, but it stuck with me. And I was as a really young guy, I was questioning. There's an elder in my church I really respected and looked up to. And I was like, why can't I just be perfect? Why can't I just everything be right? Why can't this? And he said something very simple, but it just stayed with me. He said, well, God didn't want to create a bunch of robots. So if I'm pre-programmed and pre-wired and I don't have a choice and I give my heart to Jesus and now everything just naturally comes to me automatically, I have no choice. I'm not really free, am I? I'm not. But because I'm a son and I'm a daughter of God, I'm a son of God, you're a daughter of God, I have freedom, I have self-control, and I can act, and I can be led by my Spirit, nothing else, right? Amen? And so the Lord wants to say that. Let me just share a couple things about it. In Romans, is, let me lay some scriptural foundation just for a minute. I love Romans. If you've never studied the book of Romans, I don't mean just read it, but just studied it, I need to do it again too. It's a wonderful book. It's rich. Just study the book. But in Romans chapter 6, this is a good chapter. In verse 5 it says, for if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Okay? Before I meet God, I'm in bondage. Okay? If you're a born-again believer and you feel like you're in bondage, you need to go reconnect with the Lord. Okay? That we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So in verse 15 through 23, it says, and I've preached on this before, I'm not going to do it again, but I'm going to read it. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine in which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you are slaves of righteousness. Then Paul goes on to say, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. And he goes on, when you are slaves of sin, you are free in regard to righteousness. Let me say this. I think we can understand in this nation, the national sin of slavery, when they were slaves, they were slaves. They weren't getting out. It was the same thing in that time, too. If you were a slave, you were chained. You weren't going anywhere. Okay? And so Paul is giving them a natural analogy to say that when you are walking and erring in this way, you are bound by something. But when you come into Christ, you're slaves of righteousness. But Christ sets you free, right? And so as part of my portion as a son of God, I have freedom. Okay? I'm just going to speak to you plainly. I'm going to keep repeating myself because I feel like in my heart I need to do it. No one determines your actions but you. Right? As a son of God, I have responsibility. Okay? No one else determines what I do. I have responsibility. One of the areas in that is when it comes to sin. It talks about being slaves of sin. I have several different points that I want to make in this regard, but it talks about sin. Let me go in here. First of all, there's a word in here. It says sanctification. Sanctification, the scripture, it says it's not a completed state, but it's a process. Robert Louis Stevenson, I don't fully agree with what he said. He's an author. He said, to travel, hopefully, is better than to arrive. Let me say this. Life is filled with choices. This is not my message, but I want to say this. Enjoy the journey in life, I was listening to a guy I grew up with. He was an international minister. He was about an hour from my home, and he died several years ago. He really graced my life, and I received a whole lot from him. And I had an old CD I was listening to this week, and it wasn't terribly long before he died, and listening to it was a little different. It's called Two Men in the Bible, and they would get together and talk, and had an audience asking questions, which is a pretty nice idea. But he said, just enjoy the journey. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your children. Enjoy your health. Enjoy the nice food you eat. Enjoy what God is doing in you. Amen? Sometimes, I know I get this way. I can get really panicky about things. Like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing? Learn to just enjoy it. Lord, what are you doing in my life right now? Okay, I'm walking with Jesus. It should be the most joyful life in the world. If it's not, I need to go reconnect with my source. But I'm walking with Jesus. I'm going to enjoy it. Lord, I don't know where you're leading me, but that's exciting and that's fun. Because the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step that he takes, right? My steps are order of the Lord. Sometimes I move with purpose and intention. Sometimes it's like the GPS and all I can see is the next street I turn down. And I might not know how to get to the end game. But I'm going to enjoy it. Amen? I'm going to walk in that. So let me talk about this, and it comes to dealing with sin. Do you remember when Jesus caught the woman who was dealing in adultery, and they said, we caught her in the very act? Do you know it's not your purpose as a son and daughter of God to be bound by sin? Okay? We talk about that when it comes to sickness and disease and things like that. But it's not my portion. If you're a believer and you're in constant struggle with something, the Lord wants to give you some grace and some freedom that you have the ability to choose something else. Amen? I'm not controlled by my outside influences. I'm controlled by the Spirit of God within me. Okay? So remember he said, neither do I condemn you. He said, go and sin no more. Okay? What does he do when he says, go and sin no more to this lady? He's giving her a choice, right? He's giving her a choice. You can do it if you want, but I don't condemn you. What happens when we get born again? The Lord says, you're forgiven.
There's therefore now no condemnation.
No condemnation, right? There's also, it's called the element of repentance. Go and sin no more. I'm born again. I have a choice if I'm going to go into light or dark, right? I have a choice if there's life or death. I choose how I act. I choose how I respond. I choose where I go and what I do because I'm a son of God and I've been given responsibility, right? Amen. God is sovereign. He is. There's fixed things. But for whatever reason, if I was God, I wouldn't have done it this way. Everyone would be a robot. But for some reason, God graces us and gives us freedom so he can partner with us. And he works with us. Sometimes if I make a bad choice, it's not my wife's fault. I guess it's my fault, right? Remember Adam and Eve? It was the woman. Okay. Remember, Cain and Abel, where does he say that? It says, and this is in Genesis chapter 4, it says, the Lord said to Cain, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. What was the Lord saying to him? You can master it. Where does that do? It puts the ball back in your court. Right? Putting on us. It puts the ball back in your court. Paul, let me read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He writes this. He says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulteresses, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covets. I can't ever pronounce that word if you're covet. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, but such were some of you. I love that. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord our God, the Spirit of God. And then he writes, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. What do you say there? All those sins are there. I will not be brought under power. Another verse said, translated says, I will not be mastered by anything. Is that your portion as a son and daughter of God? There's a candy bar. I used to love Zero bars. Everyone had a Zero bar before? I love them, man. My mom used to get those for me. She would trick me, or she wouldn't trick me, but she would surprise me. And buying these silver wrappers. And so, if I'm in the grocery store, I never see those anymore. And I really want a candy bar. I know this might be a lame example, and it's very simple, but it's an example. And I want to take that candy bar. I can master that urge because I'm a child of God. I'm not a slave of sin, right? I have freedom. Take it or not take it. And I know life's more complex than this, and our issues are far more complex than this. But I have responsibility over my decision to take that zero bar or not, right? I can choose life or I can choose death. I can choose light or I can choose darkness. If I take that zero bar, it's not because I just have such a strong urge and I can't help how I act. I can't help what I do. It's just what's in me. If that, my son's having fun.
He's still talking about this.
Yeah. So there's something, and let me say this too. I'm moving on. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit?
Joy.
Self-control. Self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Oftentimes when we think of self-control, and that's something we receive as Christians, as born-again believers, right? So if I receive the Lord, inherent within that is self-control. And so if I have self-control, oftentimes we view that as gritting my teeth and refusing to do something bad. Okay? I read a definition. Jonathan Welton said this. He said, a better way to look at it, self-control is being the one who determines the responses in my life. I'm going to read that again because it's excellent. Self-control is not, I want to take something from, I'm going to take that beautiful watch you have and I'm not going to do it. Self-control is, guess what? I'm born again. Spirit of God's within me. Because of what I've received from Him, I have power, I have control, I have freedom. The Lord's given me freedom to do or not to do. Self-control is being the one who determines the responses in my life. Who determines the responses in your life, son and daughter of God?
Me.
Yes. This is simple. It's meat and potatoes. But it's what God put on my heart for whatever reason. Who controls your responses?
I do.
Yes. I have no one else to blame.
Yes.
I have me. So, back to the worship, and this isn't because I've been there myself where the last thing in the world I want to do is worship God. And that's sometimes, sometimes I can worship God with clenched teeth. But guess what? Because I have fruit of the Spirit within me, and it's offering, and I'm working, and I'm growing, and I have self-control. Once again, I, not the day I'm having, not what I ate last night, I am the one who determines the responses in my life. I have the determined response. I'm going to walk in life, or I'm going to walk in death. Let me read this passage. I had this on the end of my notes somewhere. My notes are just a mess. Someone's asked me to look at my notes before, and I said, if you did, you wouldn't have a clue because it's all over the place. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. So the Lord says, I give you a multiple choice question, A and B, test, and I'm going to help you and give you the answer.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, choose life. Choose life. I choose that, okay? No one else, me, okay? Let me go on a few other things. We also have freedom for how we spend our time, money, energy, resources, and how we relate to others, right? Okay. And look, can I give you something? Actually, let me go back to what I was doing. Let me give you an example. And I want to share this. And I don't know if anyone here is struggling with this or not. I had a friend. He was no one knows who he is except my wife. And he's still a friend of mine. Man of God. God uses him. But I remember one time he came to me. He's like, man, I really slipped and fell. I went to a strip club. So I really slipped. This is an example I'm going to give because to me it's easy to give. How can I determine the responses in my life? So in a case where this individual had this strong urge, this thing pushing him, and he didn't grit his teeth, something that helps And whether it's for this guy back home, he was struggling going out to a place he shouldn't go to. Maybe for you it's something else. Let me just give you an example of him and something that could have helped him in that moment. I could say, you know what? I'm driven by my natural urges. I want to do this and I want to go there. And I can't help myself because I have to go do it. One, he made that decision. That was his choice. I know he repented and he's moving on with the Lord. I know that. But what happens if I flip my thinking and I say, you know what? Instead of going in there to look at someone like an object, why can't I see them as really someone who's hurting and needs Jesus? And why can't I just pray for them? What would happen if I sent them flowers from Jesus and they need the Lord? And instead of doing that, what happens if and this gentleman was married, what if I start to view my wife? You see how you can kind of flip things. I'm operating in self-control because I'm looking from heaven's perspective now, right? And I'm seeing what the Lord sees rather than my base self-instinct. And so if he said, you know what? Most of them probably had really, really, really horrible childhoods. While they're doing what they're doing, and they need the attention in whatever capacity they need from a man, the Lord wants to set them free for that. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to send them flowers from Jesus. I'm going to think about my wife. You see how it kind of flips things, right? Okay? It's operating in self-control. It's saying, you know what? I don't have to be ravaged by natural instincts. I'm someone who has a spirit of God within me. I'm led by my spirit. I'm not moved by an external force. I'm driven by the spirit of God in me, and I can make my own choices, right? Because God has given me freedom. My portion as a son of God is stand fast in liberty wherefore Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, right? What he did in that instance is he entangled himself with the yoke of bondage. Did he not? He was free and he went back, and instead of being free, he gave up his freedom for something else. I'm not giving up my freedom for something I shouldn't do. In regards to, let me say this, we have freedom in our time, money, energy, and how we relate to others. Let me read this quote. Mike Bickle said this, and I thought it was excellent. It made me think and made me evaluate some things. He said, to squander hours doesn't bother most people, but to squander their destiny in God does. But let me tell you, it's exactly the same thing. I'm going to read that again. Mike Bickle said, to squander hours doesn't bother most people, but to squander their destiny in God does. But let me tell you, it's exactly the same thing. When I think of my time, does God give us freedom in our time? And how we spend our time, and what do we do with our time? How we operate in our time? You know, if you have, it says, without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Is there a vision to your life? Okay? Vision for your family, a vision for something God's put within your heart. If you have that vision in your life, whatever that may be, individual, uniquely, each one of you, automatically by having that, it puts restraints on you. You know that? You're free to move away from those restraints, but instead choose to go in there. What does that mean by that? Okay? I can't say, you know what, I'm in the Marines, and I'm in, say, Camp Lejeune down in Carolina, and I don't want to be here, so I'm just going to go to Camp Pendleton in California, because I'm in the Marines, where it said, God has a unique set design and purpose for you. Let me give you this. This is a better example. When I was, and I hate to use it, it's the only example I know. When I was in Bible school, I knew God had called me to ministry. I just did. And so we had set times where you're supposed to be really spending time with the Lord. Now, there was freedom in that, studying your Bible, reading, praying. And I watched people who took advantage of it and people who didn't take advantage of it. And I said, because there's a vision to my life, because the Lord's put something in my life, because he's called something in my life, it puts restraints around me. And so while I can just still play video games with the guy in the next room, there's a vision to my life, and I can't do that. I have to do what the Lord says. What's the Lord called you to do that puts restraints around you? Okay? And I'm talking about freedom and restraints at the same time. You have freedom because you can walk away from that at any time. Well, how do you use your time? That's important. It's simple. I don't always use my time well, and the Lord convicted me when I read that passage. Because do you know what? I want to fulfill my destiny in God, and I want to leave a legacy behind me when I go, right? Do you? I want my children to have a legacy. I want other people. I want to pour in someone's life so much. And this is not bragging to say this. Everyone here should say it. I want to pour into people's life so much, whether it's my child, someone else, that they tell their grandkids about it. You should have that as well, right? I did this, and my kids know, my grandkids know about it. You know, one day my grandkids will say, I appreciate what James and Ann, like in your family, for example, you think I'm leaving a legacy for guys like Mike, you know? I want to say, yeah, I'm grateful for what God did in James's life, because even though I'm running right now, I'm still watching it and I'm seeing it, and he knows what's there. And you say, I'm leaving something behind. There's restraints in my life. So James has something. And what does that do? It gives us responsibility. I can't just act any way I want to act and be how I want to be, right? I have self-control, the ability to choose my reactions and responses. Amen? This is simple, but it's good. So I can choose that spiritually. Do you have life goals? 3 months from now, whether it's in your walk with God, you know, I always say in my walk with God, I do it on a year. Lord, next year I want to be in a different place than I am right now with you. Lord, whether it's I got more out of Romans this year, I operate better in the profession, however it may be, I'm just closer to you. I want to grow in that. If it's in your business, I want my business to grow by this. Just if you're in school, however it may be, also with relationally, do you have goals? Do you honor, do you value the body of Christ, which I spoke on that last week? And I'll remind you again, I'm not going to repeat last week's message. I'm not going to do it. But how do I steward my time with God? How do I steward my time with brothers and sisters in Christ? I choose that option, right? I choose it. How am I going to treat James today? I get to make that choice, right?
Amen.
Okay? I can pray for him and love on him because he might need it, or just blow him off. How do I do that? I make the choice, right? Relationally, the house of God, the family of God, your vocation. You also steward your time. Do you know this? And I have to add this in. Stewarding time is also giving yourself rest. You know that? It's giving yourself a break. It's relaxing. Football starts today. Tony has to pray for the Panthers so they can whip up on the Cowboys. But for me, that's rest. I feel like I could do that from God. It doesn't get away. It's something where I can just rest my mind, rest my spirit. You have something in your life where you can rest and just be you and be normal. Economically, how you steward your money. I'd love to get a business guy in here. Economically, I need to take the Mott's Financial Peace class, right? I need to guard my finances. I choose all those things. Because the tendency in life and the tendency in the body of Christ is to say, you know what? I'm casting the blame on my actions on you, right? And I never take... What is maturity? 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I thought, I reasoned, I understood as a child. Okay? When I grew up, I put those ways behind me. Do you think as a child? Do you reason? Do you interact as a child? Do you get offended every time you have the opportunity to do so? I'm not saying anyone here does. I'm saying this to myself too, right? I have to walk as a mature son of God because I have responsibility. Amen? I sound like a broken record, but maybe it's for somebody. But you have responsibility for your life. You have responsibility for how you act. When you get to the end of your life, where you are in God, that's up to you. Right? It's not up to my wife. It's up to me. Okay? Alright? Alright, freedom in the way we think, and I'm going to end with this. In Romans 12:2, it says, not conformed to this world, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I've spoken on that before, I'm not going to preach it again, but it's a great example. That word conform in the original language means I'm shaped and molded by Sandra's opinion of me. Transforming speaks, I'm shaped and molded by what the Lord says about me. Right? Sometimes we have people living rent-free in our minds. And they're dictating to us even though they're not even thinking, right? And have you ever seen someone, I don't know how to give an example in this one. I know someone, I don't know if they're anorexic or close to it. Someone made a nasty comment to them when they were a little child. And so it didn't matter what they looked like physically. They were constantly haunted by what that person said when they were a little child. And basically borderline anorexic. Okay? What is that? I'm more impacted by what she says than what the Word of God says. I'm being conformed to the world. I'm being conformed to what she says. Andrew and I were talking about someone last night who we know. No one here knows him. There's no one here, so don't think. But we know someone, and this person is in a relationship, and that person, other men in the relationship, constantly puts other things on them. Well, you're this, you're this, you're this. And like, oh, no, you're actually not. And it gets to the point that person begins to agree with it. Yes, I'm this, I'm this. And like, no, you're not. I have freedom. I can say, you know what? I'm going to be governed by what the Word of God says about me, or I'm going to be governed by her opinion about me. Okay? How do I live? I struggle with it too sometimes, right? I've talked about this. It can be the fear of man or the fear of God. I'm driven by her opinions or I'm driven by mine. But what, do you have something?
Yeah, it's just kind of been sitting in me. And I'll just say it. I don't know if it exactly goes along. But I just feel like what a great price God paid for us. What a great price God paid for us. You have been bought with the price to glorify God with your body. It's like this little orphan, I think of this little orphan nobody wants, and somebody wants that child to pay this huge, and think about the expensive. Think about like millions of dollars to choose that child. You're bought with a price, and God, don't like value that lightly. Don't value the sacrifice Jesus made for you lightly. I don't know. I just feel it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Saw you raising your hand, so we went well. So I'm not governed by that. And do you know something else? I'm also not governed by how she treats me, right? And I was talking to you about this, Mary. And what does it say? It says love. I met a guy one time, like, oh, we just love, love, love. There has to be an expression of love. I can't just say I love everybody. What does that mean? I don't know. But in Matthew it says to bless, to love, or to bless, to give, to pray for. So how do I operate in the spirit of love? If Sandra comes to me, remember I talked about my old landlord? And like he was really, I had a choice to make then. And I didn't respond completely right, but I responded, I think, as best as the Lord enabled me to. But I had a choice. I can get to the gutter with him and go right at it toe for toe, or I can say, you know what? I am free because I'm a born-again child of God. I'm free. I'm not entangled with the yoke of bondage. I'm not entangled with the yoke of bitterness, anger, wrath on someone. So my landlord has pretended it's you. I'm not controlled and dictated to. This should be freeing for someone. I'm not controlled by how she treats me, right? Her behavior towards me does not control my response to her. My landlord's a piece of work. Okay, my old landlord, my new one's really good. My old landlord's a piece of work. I have freedom in Christ to love, bless, and honor and pray for this person back. I don't have to go into the gutter. That's simple stuff, but that's a place where we miss it so much in the body of Christ. Why we sometimes we not where we should be in some areas. It's simple life, right? I could prophesy the paint off the walls for hours, but if I can't operate like this, I'm really small in the kingdom of God. Okay? I'm really immature in that area. So other people's responses don't dictate to me. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I prayed for someone this morning who came up, and it's a bunch of script, and I know some of you in here probably do this more than I do. It's a bunch of I am. There's a guy, Prophet Quibus, he was in South Africa. I love that man of God. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But I have 3 pages of all these different things. I read over Jim this morning. And I'm going to tell you what. I did this week, and I was spending time with the Lord, and I was wrestling and grappling. And I read, I'm just going to read some of it. I am washed in the blood of Jesus. I am cleansed. I am forgiven of all my sins. I am redeemed. I am free from condemnation. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am set free. I am crucified with Christ. I am alive with Christ. I am a son of God. I am justified. I am sanctified by His word. I am righteous and holy because I am in Christ Jesus. I am clothed in righteousness. I am a new creation because I am in Christ Jesus. If you want a copy, this is, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I'll tell you the truth. I read this out loud to myself, and I literally felt like I took a bath. I really felt like it.
Amen.
And I said, wow. And I was in a low place, and I read that to myself out loud, and I felt like a champion when I got done with it. What was I doing? I was agreeing. Yes, I was agreeing with what the Lord said about me.
Right.
Right? So in that case, I can choose. I have freedom. Sandra says I'm this X, Y, and Z. I must be X, Y, and Z. How can I act towards Sandra now since she says I'm X, Y, and Z? Or I can say this. Sandra says I'm X, Y, and Z, but I'm a child of God, and this is what He says about me.
Amen.
This is what I'm doing, right? That's meat
That's
and
problem.
Potatoes, but it's good stuff. Washed in the water of the Word of God, right? What does the Word of God say about me? Okay? I'm going to end. I read something this week, and I don't know. I enjoy the Rocky movies, and one of the Rocky movies, it's one of the last ones, I think. And Rocky has a son. I think it's Rocky 6 or 7 or something. And Rocky's like 50 years old. He's getting ready to fight this guy. And his son is upset because his son gets his identity from his dad. Okay? It's actually a beautiful picture of the gospel, what they did there. The son was getting his identity from his dad. He says, you know, I've gotten ahead in life. Because you are a champion, you're this. No one cares about me for who I am. They care about me because you're my dad and what you did. And that would be a tough thing if you had a famous father like that, if that was real. But he said, I'm all this, I'm all that. And he said, I don't want you getting the ring because people are going to make a mockery. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to do this and that. And that's going to affect me. And Rocky goes on and he says, I'm going to read it. I can't give you a Rocky voice, but I'll read it as I can. And Rocky talks, and he says, he talked about how he grew up, and he said, it was great just watching you every day. It was like a privilege. Then the time came for you to be your own man and take on the world. And you did, but somewhere along the way, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell them that you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world isn't all sunshine and rainbows. It can be a really mean and nasty place. He says, I don't care how tough you are. It can beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or no one else is going to hit us as hard as life. It can be true. But it's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's about how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, go out and get your worth. But you have to be willing to take hits and not be pointing fingers saying that you are not where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that. It speaks to me, right? I'm not somewhere because this person. No, that's cowards do that. That's not you. You're better than that. If that's not like to me in the gospel, it's like the Lord saying to you, you're better than that. I don't care what she says. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what and no matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood, and you're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you don't have a life. So basically what he said, and this is a wonderful picture. Rocky's son was influenced, thought who he was because of who his father was. And his identity came from his father. Now, this is an imperfect example. This came from someone else. That's a better way to put it. My identity comes from someone else. He was lashing out at his dad. What did his dad do in return? He didn't say, okay, well, I'm not going to do it, son, or lash out back. He said, you know what? You're responsible for your life. You're responsible for your reactions, for your responses. When someone punches you in the face, when you've been in the ring with Mike Tyson, you're responsible for getting back up. No one else is. And he reacted in love and grace. And he said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing it and love you in return. But if you're passing the blame on where I am because of someone else, he said, cowards do that. that spoke to me. How many times in my life have I blamed someone else for something that really is the fruit of my own unwise choices, right? And I know life is complex and complicated, and sometimes there's things that to go beyond some of this. I understand that. But at the end of the day, Saul became Paul. He was bound. He said he was breathing threats against the people of God, chopping their heads off. He flipped and he started preaching. And if you read his Gospels, it's freedom. Stand fast in liberty, which Christ has made you free. Beautiful passage in Romans. I'm no longer entangled with the slavery of sin. I'm not bound by anything. Just like we started off in the garden, okay? The reason I'm free is not because I'm just running loose. The reason I'm free is because there's the option for bad. The Lord trusts you enough to give you light and darkness. If there's ever a question about it, I tell his people, should I go to this concert or not? Is it light or is it dark? Is it life or is it death? Choose life, right? Multiple choice. Choose life. There's times I do things and it's not sin. It could be just watching too much politics and it gets nasty in my spirit. I start operating in death then. Choose life. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to listen to the Word of God or something. Okay? I make that choice because I'm a son of God. Amen? This was simple. And I asked the Lord, why am I giving this? I don't really know. He gave it to me like Monday. I don't know why. But maybe it's for someone. It's you determine your responses in God. You determine. And that's how the Lord operates. There's some things that the Lord does. There's divine providence. There's them. I'm not doing away with any of that. But the Lord, you know, I can say no to God, right? I can stop God by my attitude and my actions. I can say no to Him, or I can say yes to Him. Amen? And the heart of the Lord is that we take responsibility, recognize that we're mature sons and daughters of God, and I don't have anyone else to blame other than myself. Do you know Corrie ten Boom? Mm-hmm. I think it was a Holocaust person who killed one of her family members. You know the story. And what did she do? She prayed for them and welcomed them into the family of God. And they, can you imagine? She could have been harboring bitterness and resentment and hate, evil Nazi, and brought into the family of God. Why does that happen? David in the scriptures, and everyone was angry with him. He said, I'm going to find my strength in the Lord God. Paul and Silas were in the prison. Instead of complaining, they were worshiping God. Why? Because they had a choice. They were free people, right? Joseph in the slave pit. It was that woman's fault who lied on me. It was the guy's fault who didn't remember me to promote me. He never passed the point. You cannot be a victim and a victor at the same time. Has God called you to be a victor?
Yes.
And you can't be a victim and a victor at the same time. So Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for what you've done here this morning, Lord. Lord, I thank you that our brother's healed from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord. And that there's a good report in the days ahead of this man.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, for speaking to us, Lord, for equipping us. Lord, that you trust us, Father. You've called it because we're sons and daughters of God. We have power in Christ Jesus to make right decisions and right choices, Father. So Lord, I ask that this house and this body would be known as people who are led by the Spirit of God. Lord, not by outside circumstances. And we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If anyone wants a